Today I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like, what did you get yourself into? You didn't have the right experience or the right skill set? Well, I know I have, and you probably have too. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Okay, today we're going to continue with the series, The Manifestation of Your Life Mission. Rick is showing us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to do, we don't have to run away from it. We can actually run toward it. This is such a good message, and I hope you'll invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how we can live according to the purpose and plan that He has for us. And now here's Rick with the final part of a message called What to Do When It Feels Hopeless.
Now there are two more lessons we learn when you're feeling hopeless. Number six, reject false fixes, the solutions, and accept God's grace. Reject false fixes and accept God's grace. Now we've all seen people in big trouble who turn to God only as a last resort. They try literally everything else to solve their problem before they'll finally, in humility, turn to God. And they will try some of the stupidest, most worthless things instead of God when they're in deep trouble. Instead of turning to God's grace, they turn to everything but God. Their marriage is falling apart. Their career is falling apart. Their body may be falling apart. Their reputation is falling apart in shambles, and they're looking to everything else. Reject false fixes. Last summer, I took my family on vacation to Canada. We went to Banff. I'm kind of a rock and mineral kind of guy. I love looking at God's creations and minerals, and I went into one of these great, beautiful rock stores up there. But there was one section that had a whole bunch of quartz crystals in it for healing. And they were named. So like, you know, if you got a poor sex life, you need this crystal. If you're bald, going bald, you need this crystal. If you got acid indigestion, you need that crystal. And you know, if you're depressed, you need to put this crystal in your room. Now I like crystals, but they're not gonna keep my hair in place. Jonah 2, verse 8, here's the next thing Jonah says. Those who look to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Jonah knows it's his own fault, but he knows God is still a gracious God, even though it's his fault. He caused all this problem. So those who look to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Now today, we don't carve idols anymore. Little idols and stick them on. We buy them. We all have idols. Ours just look prettier. Some people idolize their car. Some people idolize their home. Some people idolize their front lawn. Some people idolize the clothes they wear. We idolize fame today. We idolize fortune and wealth today. We idolize pleasure. We idolize sex as if it's the most important thing in life. We idolize popularity. We idolize power. We idolize all kinds of things. We are just as idolatrous as previous generations. All right, just our idols look nicer. What do you idolize? Anything you think about more than God is your idol. Some people idolize their job. That's what they're living for. The job is God. Some people idolize the next date. That's all they're thinking about. What's going to be my next date? Some people idolize marriage. Getting married is the ultimate pinnacle of life. It's not. Anybody want to give a testimony on that one? It's a good thing. I've been married almost 45 years, but it's not God. What do you idolize? What do you idolize? Those who look to worthless idols. You're looking for some other solution to your problem instead of turning to the grace of God. You forfeit the grace of God. You know, when I saw those crystals in that store and all the things that were promising to cure, I thought of this verse here on the screen. Romans 1:25. Instead of believing the truth of God, many people choose to believe lies. They choose to believe lies. Like, this crystal is going to make me feel better. Worshiping and serving created things rather than the Creator himself. Who made those crystals? God did. They can't talk. They can't listen. They can't give you advice. They're idols. They can't solve your problem. People choose to believe lies. We believe lies all the time. Our culture is filled with lies that we believe. If it feels right, it must be right. That's a lie. It may feel right to you. That doesn't make it right. If it feels right, it must be right. That's a lie. It's just not true. I am the master of my fate. That's a lie. You are not the master of your fate. That's easily disprovable. It's easily proven wrong. You didn't choose most of the major things that made you you. You didn't choose where you were born. You didn't choose when you were born. You didn't choose who your parents were. You didn't choose your race. You didn't choose your natural gifts and aptitudes. You're not the master of your fate. Most of the things that made you, you had no control over. It's a lie. It's trying to say, I'm God. God is not God, I'm God. He who dies with the most toys wins. That's a lie. He who dies with the most toys still dies. And we're not keeping count because you're not taking any of it into the eternity. God helps those who help themselves. That's a lie. It's just not true. It's not in the Bible. God helps those who trust him, not who help themselves. If it's to be, it's up to me. That's a lie. If it's to be, it's up to God. You're not God. God is God. People choose to believe lies and they forfeit the grace of God. Look at this verse on the screen, Philippians 3:3. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ has done already for us. That's the grace of God. That's how you're going to get out of your hopelessness. Not by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. We depend on the grace of God. Jonah didn't try to save himself. When he's at the bottom of the ocean in this big fish, he's not going, now can I remember my lifeguard Red Cross training? I'll hold my breath deep, I'll swim to the top, and then I'll tread water until a Mediterranean cruise ship comes by and picks me up. He's not trying to save himself. Stop trying to save yourself and forfeit the grace of God. Jonah says this, Jonah 2:6. You, O Lord, saved me, and you brought my life back up from the pit. That's a euphemism for death. You brought my life back up. I was dying. He may have died. I was dying. Now, here's the seventh thing you do when life seems hopeless. Number seven, do what Jonah did. Express gratitude to God in advance. Express gratitude to God in advance. Before you're out of the situation, while you're in the belly of the fish, while you're at rock bottom, while things are swirling around. Now, I need to explain the difference between gratitude before and gratitude after. If I wait until after God solves my problem to thank him, that's gratitude. That's thankfulness. Thank you, God, for solving my problem. That's gratitude. If I thank God in advance before the problem has been solved, that's faith. Does that make sense? I am in faith saying, thank you, God, in advance for solving this problem, for answering this prayer. If I wait till after God has solved the problem, it's just gratitude. It's Thanksgiving. That's a good thing. But if I thank God in advance, now I have expressed faith. Thank you, God, for solving this problem. while I'm depressed. I don't feel like the problem's solved, but I'm thanking you in advance. That's faith. And God always, always responds to faith. How do I show gratitude to God in advance? Well, notice three ways. Jonah did three things, and these are the three things you need to do when you are feeling hopeless. Showing gratitude to God in advance. Verse 9, Jonah says, I will sing a song of thanksgiving, and I will sacrifice to you, and I will do what I have promised you to do because, why? Because salvation comes from the Lord. Now notice he says, I will, I will, I will. This is in advance. He's promising, he's vowing, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. He's doing it in advance. He's not waiting until the problem's solved to be grateful. Now, write these down. Here are the three ways you express gratitude to God in advance. Number one, through singing. Through singing. I will sing a song of thanksgiving. Some of you don't think singing is important. It is. I don't have time to go into it. It's good for your health. It's a depression reliever. Psychological studies. It's good for your health. Now, I see you out there. Some of you think you're too cool to sing. Oh, I'm just cool. Everybody else singing, but I'm too manly to sing. I'm too cool. Or some of you just think, you don't know my voice, Rick. I can't sing. The Bible doesn't say you have to have a good voice. It says make a joyful noise. Even pigs can do that when they eat. You know, that's a joyful noise, okay? And in a crowd this size, you could be a prison singer. You're always behind a few bars and never have the right key. But it's still a joyful noise, okay? But you need to learn to sing to God. And you sing to God in advance and you say, I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will remain. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom will I fear? Whom will I be afraid? You need to sing that. You need to sing every song every week. It's thanking God in advance. It's good for your health. Number two, second way, he says, through giving back to God. Through giving back to God. He says, I will sacrifice you. I'm not only gonna just sing to you, I'm gonna sacrifice you. Do you give any of the income that God has given to you back to him in recognition that it all came from him in the first place? That's a sacrifice. I'm gonna give an offering. I'm gonna sacrifice giving back to God. Number three, through recommitting to my mission. Through recommitting to my mission. He says, I will do, God, what I've promised you to do. Well, you said go and I said no, I'm taking that back. I am recommitting to my mission. I will do what you promised me to do. You see, Jonah messed up royally, and we've all done that too. We're all Jonas. We're all Jonas. We've all messed up royally, but that does not stop God's life mission for you. God still had a life mission for Jonah, even though he had rejected, done everything he could do to exactly go the opposite direction. Look at this one verse, Romans chapter 11, verse 29. For God's gifts... His gifts to you, the gifts he's given to you. You're gifted, you're talented in certain areas. God's gift and his call. God has a calling on your life. He has a life mission for you. God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Irrevocable. It's still in force in your life. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how old you are. You may have missed God's mission for your entire life. It's still in force. Would you write this down? God has no plan B for my life. God has no plan B for my life. But Rick, you don't know what's happened. You don't know my failure. God has no plan B. But God, you don't know about the affair I had. God has no plan B. But you don't know about my divorce. God has no plan B. But you don't know about my bankruptcy. God has no plan B. But you don't know about my embarrassing failure where I fell flat on my face. God has no plan B for your life. God's mission in your life is still in force. You say, but I've only got 3 years left. Then you better use those 3 years. I didn't pull back the mission because Jonah went the exact opposite way for most of his life. No, God says it's still in force. The gifts that God has given you, he hasn't pulled back, even with all your mistakes. And the calling God has on your life, he's never pulled back. It is irrevocable. I've only got a little time left. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't care how old you are, and I don't care what you've done. God's gift and call in your life is irrevocable. You better get at it. Whatever's left in your life. Now, when did Jonah decide to do these three expressions of gratitude? After he's out on dry land? No. While he's still in the situation. While he's still feeling hopeless, not after his ordeal is over. This is how he gets out of the ordeal. And when he does these three things, I will, and I will. When he does these three things, here's the last verse in the chapter, verse 10. So the Lord ordered a great fish, the great fish, to vomit Jonah onto a beach. Can you imagine if you were suntanning on that beach? What a freaky thing that would be. Here comes a big fish, spits out a man. He comes out, the stomach acids in the fish has probably bleached him albino. He's got fish vomit and seaweed mangled in his long hair, and he probably hit the ground running to Nineveh. I don't think he took his time cozily, jauntily, walking along, skipping the fields and picking daisies. No, he hits the ground running because God loves to give a second chance and a third and a fourth and a tenth and a 20th. We're going to look at that next week. God loves to give a second chance. Jonah chapter 1, we see Jonah running from God. In Jonah chapter 2, we see Jonah running to God and his grace. In Jonah chapter 3, we're going to see Jonah running with God. And that's where it gets exciting. Where are you? Let's bow our heads. Father, there are people here listening right now who are feeling hopeless. There are some people here who are in over their head and they know it. They're going, I'm in deep weeds, deep guacamole. I'm in deep. I'm in over my head. And some feel they've hit bottom. Help them to look up. There's some here who feel out of control, feel powerless to change anything. And there are others who feel rejected. And there's some who just feel lonely. I feel alone. And there are others that are feeling regret, remorse, maybe guilt. And some are feeling crushed by fear and anxiety and worry, choked. And I'm sure a lot of people feel trapped. Trapped in a job, trapped in a relationship they can't get on with, can't get out of. Trapped in a habit, trapped in a memory. Help them to do what Jonah did, to take these seven steps. Help them to pray with passion, not fake, phony, perfunctory, memorized prayers. Help them to pray with passion. Help them to pray persistently. And help them to pray your word back to you. The complaints, the truths, the promises. Now you pray. Say in your heart, God, I'm feeling a little helpless or hopeless. I'm feeling a little helpless or hopeless. I'm looking to you. I want to turn my thoughts to you and focus on your goodness, not my problems. You love me. Say that in your heart. You love me. You really love me. You will never stop loving me. You have always loved me. Help me to never forget that or doubt that, even when I feel swallowed up by my circumstances. Father, I want to reject all the phony and fake and human fixes to my problems. And I want to depend on your grace instead. And so in faith, in the middle of my storm, regardless of how I'm feeling right now, I'm going to thank you in advance for rescuing me. And I want to express my trust and my gratitude to you by singing, by giving an offering, by recommitting to whatever mission you made me for. Thank you that you are the God of second chances. Thank you that you have no plan B for my life. And thank you that you will use it all for my good. Jesus Christ, I want you to be the manager of my life. Come in and do some house cleaning in my heart. Change my values and my priorities. I want to become a person of love, loving you and loving others. And I ask you to change me and save me. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. You know, I know that you would love to live a life of significance. But have you ever wondered if you could make a contribution so unique that no one else in all the world could do what you've accomplished? Well, you need to stop wondering, because God created you to make a difference in the world. He created you to fulfill a mission that only you can accomplish. I know you may be thinking that God couldn't use you like that, but you know what? He can. And not only can he, but he will. It really doesn't matter what you've done or what you've failed to do. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It is never too early or too late to start on the mission that God has planned for you. And that's why I'm so excited to let you know about a brand new Bible study from Pastor Rick called Rising to God's Call, A Journey Through Jonah. In this study, Rick is going to show you how God had an incredible mission for Jonah. And it went well beyond being swallowed by a big fish. Jonah's story is really about second chances and redemption and the rescue of an entire nation. And more importantly, it's the story of God, the one who shows grace to everyone he created. You know, the story of Jonah is really like a blueprint from God. It shows all of us how he can use you to do significant things, no matter where you are in life right now. And just like Jonah, you're going to find that pursuing God's mission for your life is the greatest adventure that you will ever go on. And we're going to send you Pastor Rick's brand new Bible study, Rising to God's Call, A Journey Through Jonah, to say thank you for your gift to Daily Hope, because it helps us share the life-transforming Word of God with the world. Just go to PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 to get this great resource. That's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.